Well, this is the Kerry James from Kingston, Jamaica, and right now you're listening to Global Sounds FM with Barbara and Dominic and Student and Funk Regensburg.
Your love. This is real love. Real love.
This was the song Love from our last interview partner, Trickstar. We are Global Sounds FM from Student Radio Regensburg, and today we would like to introduce to you Kalia, welcome.
Hi, guys.
So, Kalia, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
How do you feel today? It's a good day?
Yeah, it's a very good day. I just put out a new song called Wildfire with Dre Island, and people are giving really good responses. So I'm buzzing. I'm having a good day so far.
It's a really great song, and I think we will talk about it a bit later also.
Yeah. Thank you.
About just a little icebreaker here, about your name, Kalia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do still people misspell your name? Do you care?
They don't misspell it as much as they mispronounce it. So people say Kahalia, Kalia, Kalila. I don't know where the extra L came from, but Kayla. the mispronunciation is more a thing than a misspelling. I always correct, it's Kalia, but you guys got it right the first time, so well done.
And we watched your interviews.
<That's funny>.
One first thing, maybe, do Jamaicans, because we saw these interviews, do Jamaicans see you as Jamaican? Or is this, are you more seen as a Jamaican foreigner?
I think. So I was actually born in Jamaica. I was born in Westmoreland, but I left when I was 6. So I spent majority of my life growing up in London, but always, you know, back and forth. And I think they do, you know, once my putti in the patois. Because I do still speak patois, and you know, in other interviews you'll see me go back and forth, but I would say they do, but that's from my point of view. I don't know how people view me from someone else's eyes. I view myself as a Jamaican, so yeah.
You were born there in Jamaica, and I think if you're born somewhere, it's really in your heart forever. And
exactly.
Yeah, and then you were 6 years old when you came to London. You grew up there, went to school, and London is such a multicultural city because it's also so much influenced by the Caribbean culture. How did you see this when you arrived in London? Did it feel a little bit like home for you?
I was going to touch on that actually, that the Jamaican culture influences London British culture a lot anyway. So, you know, things like the slang Wagwan, you know, you'll hear a Polish person that's moved to London using Jamaican slangs. So it's like it was a melting pot. So a lot of times I felt at home. I was able to eat Jamaican food very easily, you know, restaurants everywhere. I was able to go to parties playing reggae and dancehall very easily without having to search. So it was easy to stay connected to Jamaica even while being in London.
Is there some special place in London where you say it's most favorite place to eat?
Oh, that's a hard one. That's a very hard one.
No, because we are always questioning ourselves. I mean, just imagine.
There's a place in Dalston. I do not remember what it's called. So, but it's near Dalston, Kingsland. And Dalston there's actually 3 good ones in Dalston. So if you're ever in East London and you ever happen to go to Dalston, outside the station, there are some Jamaican shops that are nice. But go to the ones that are, just like on the high street. Don't go to the fancy Jamaican ones. Those ones are fake. Go to the ones where the what do you call it? The hostess or the cashier is rude to you. That's how you know the food is nice.
Great. Well, so you were born in Jamaica and then you grew up in London. Which music did you grow up with?
So My family are very religious, so I was listening to a lot of gospel music in the house. So I had to find my way to like reggae and dancehall and a lot of R&B music I was listening to as well. But I did that, you know, on my own accord. You know, at the time, the people would like burn CDs and make mixtapes, and I would have like a little CD player with my headphones, listening to, you know, the Destiny's Child, Lady Saw, Tanya Stevens, Capleton, Beyonce, Rihanna, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I listened to a lot of music, a lot of genres while I was growing up, to be honest.
Was there some point where you thought, now I want to become a musician?
Yeah, from a very young age, I've always wanted to be a performer, let's say that. I've always wanted to be on stage. I love singing, I love acting. I love to dance. I'm not that great at dancing, but I love to do it anyways. And but singing is my main outlet of expression, and it always has been from as long as I can remember, to be honest.
So have you been a wild child?
In what sense?
A wild child, like my sister was always dancing and singing, you know, with 6 years old and
Oh yeah.
You know, going on, being in attention and, you know, being wild, you know.
Yes. The first memory that I have of being asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? My answer was to be a dancehall queen. I wanted to. okay. I think maybe at the time, Beanie Man's song, you know, she's a dancehall queen for life. That song might have been out, and maybe that's what influenced that answer. But yeah, I was always dancing, always. I still always sing, always dance, even to this day, just randomly, anyways.
So in that moment, did something inspire you? Some person, because, you know, it's very hard to decide as a kid, yeah, I really go this track, I go the musician way.
I just knew I wanted to do it. I never had, there was nothing, there's still nothing else I can see myself doing, but I never really took it seriously until like the first time I recorded music, which was when I was about 15 years old. And I was like, okay, you know, I have to figure out a way to figure out the music industry itself. Because before that, prior to that, I just knew I wanted to sing. I knew I loved to write music. I wrote my first song when I was 9 years old. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just knew that's what I wanted to do. And I felt it was possible. So I just decided to follow it.
As we know, you met Shaggy and you introduced him some music. How did you get to meet Shaggy? How did this happen?
It was very, very random. And this is the reasons why I believe like everything happens for a reason. So I was in Miami for my friend's birthday celebrating, and I was planning to stay in Miami for the 3 days. And then I was planning to go to Jamaica to, you know, link up with some producers out here and stuff like that. And it just happened that we were out and about and I saw Shaggy, and my friends were like, you should speak to him, you should, you know, send him your music. And I was like, no, like I'm sure he gets so many people, you know, every day. And anyway, they were like, just do it, what's the worst that can happen? So I approached him and I was like, you know, I'd love to send you some of my music so you can hear it. And he gave me an email address that I honestly thought was fake, or I just thought he would never reply. And I did send him it though on that same day. And the next day he replied saying, you know, I've listened to the music and you have a great voice, a great sound. And I know somebody who can, you know, bring out that sound. Since you're going to Jamaica, I'm going to give you a number for Tony Kelly. And when you get there, link up with him. Mm-hmm. And I did. And yeah, me and Tony, we've been working together ever since.
Why did you decide to go to Jamaica? Was it just an impulse? You said like, that's my chance.
So it was a time in my life that I felt that I needed to do some things. I had been recording music. I knew I wanted to, you know, venture into the dancehall and the reggae space. And I just knew that I needed to be in Jamaica to really experience the culture properly and to work with some Jamaican producers and artists even. So that was my plan. I didn't I didn't know how, what, where, when. I just knew that when I got there, seriously, I didn't even book like any hotels or anything until I landed, because I just didn't know what was gonna happen. I just was like, I'm just gonna go to Jamaica for like a month and just see if I can meet as many people and network as much as I can. And yeah, I didn't end up having to do that much networking because thankfully Shaggy was looking out for me.
So you're in Jamaica since 2016 and working
yeah,
on your
2017, own... yeah,
2017,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can we, as people that never have been to Jamaica, like when you first came back to Jamaica, how did it change for you? And because, you know, you have it in your mind as a child, as mm-hmm. how it was. How was your feeling when you came back the first time to Jamaica?
Well, I was always back and forth anyway, because every summer holiday, we would always come to Jamaica. So, but my family live in the countryside of Jamaica in Westmoreland. So it was still different because moving to Kingston, Kingston is a city, but coming from a bigger city to a relatively small city, it was different. I mean, the main difference is just the access to online shopping because you're on an island. But everything else, it wasn't really a shock to me because, you know, it's my home at the end of the day, and I was always here anyway, like every year.
Yeah, then in 2018 you released a very successful song named One Dance, and it has a lot of views on YouTube, and you would like to listen to it now a little bit.
We wanted to ask you, first of all, where did you produce that song? Was it also in Jamaica?
So, yeah, all the music that you've heard ever since 2017 with Kalicious and Tony Kelly has been in Jamaica, recorded and written in Jamaica. This song, Tony came up with, you know, the idea of using that line, "Let me tell you a story about what one dance can do," you know, from the Barry Salmon song, as a hook. And he showed me the idea, and then I wrote my verse. And once I wrote my verse, he was like, you know, I think we should get a feature on this, and I know the perfect person would be iOctane. So we called iOctane, and then the next day we went to iOctane studio, and he wrote and recorded his verse in his studio. And then I heard his verse, and I was like, you know what, I have to come batter on the next verse. So then we went back and I wrote the third verse. And then, yeah, so it was like a back and forth collaborative effort for that song.
Yeah, and then you released a song called Easy. And with this song, you got a little bit more recognition in Jamaica. We will listen to it as well. Life in the ghetto, put your shelter over safety. Everywhere you walk, a bad news. If I don't leave, then I will never get a grand view. The law is less because nobody no follow no rules. But the ghetto teacher... What was the message that you wanted to say with that song?
It was mainly just to keep going. And, you know, it's a song for people that feel that they just need one chance. They just need one opportunity to make it and to show their potential. You know, that first line, study up for 7 years long, then it's experience me not having that no fair man. You know, many people, well, not many people, everybody is told growing up when you go into school that you just have to study hard, get good grades, and then you're going to get a good job. And then you're going to make money and then you'll live happily ever after. And 9 times out of 10, that's just not how it goes. As much as you can work hard, you get the grades. When you leave, there may be no jobs. Maybe, you know, people don't want to give you a certain position because of where you got that qualification from, you know, things like that. So it's just saying that just keep your head up, keep going. And your time will come. And I understand that feeling that you have so much potential to give to the world, but you're not able to shine. Just keep going.
In the video, you can see like also the problems in Jamaica with poverty and having debts, right? So how do you see that? And are you following a kind of mission with your work as a young artist in Jamaica?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I suppose, yeah, mission, yeah. It's more of a, I want to get to a space that I'm able to help people, you know. I'm trying right now. Even before, like, you know, getting into music, I would always try to give back even to my community where I'm from in Westmoreland. But it's, music is going to be a platform for me, you know, when I get to a certain stage to then be able to say, okay, we can do these certain projects to educate or to help people to rise from poverty. And yeah, it is obviously a big issue in Jamaica.
But still people seem to like you say, like an easy, people just move on, go on, right? It's a very, like, is there a difference between what you would see from the mentality in Jamaica to European countries between just moving on and being trying to be positive?
When you say move on, you mean like even though something's happening, you just keep pushing?
Yes.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say. But I do know that Jamaica is a very jovial country. Even though we may be going through hardships, we always find the fun in things. We always find the joke in something. So that's one thing about Jamaican people. There is always happiness everywhere. Even if you go into the inner cities where people are struggling to make ends meet and things like that, you will still see smiling faces. So I guess that's a difference you can say is the happiness. We find the joy in everything. We will be happy.
That's great. Yeah, and with the song Easy, I think it was a little bit like a peak of your career. And then the COVID pandemic came in at the beginning of 2020. I think you were on tour with Alberosi, and then all your bookings had to be cancelled. How did that feel when everything gets changed from one day?
It was like a stab in the heart, you know, just feeling like, okay, things are picking up, things are moving. And it was like being given, I don't know, a gift that you've wanted for so long, you know, and you've begged your parents for this gift, and they give you this gift, and then they just say, they snatch it from you and say, no, sorry, you can't have it anymore. That's what that was like. But, you know, we move, and as I say about the Jamaican people, we keep it moving, and we find, you know, there's other ways. We've done, you know, the virtual performances and stuff, but I miss being on stage in front of real people, in front of people that can feel the bass of, you know, the music, that can feel the drums and can hear the vibration from the speakers. And I can't wait to be able to do that again.
So interesting, because we also had our interview before Trickstar was also with a band, and they told us exactly the same. They said that an artist is living from the creativity that he gets from the persons in front of him and the vibes of the artists around him and the music shaking behind their ears. They need the vibe, the atmosphere of this moment, almost free moment, because it's not like going work from 9 to 5, yes?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And even not just in performing, but in writing, you know, I always say my inspiration comes from life. And so when your life is just here, then, you know, what's happening? Where's the inspiration to write, and the creativity is kind of... So you just have to figure out ways for yourself, you know, go outside, take a walk, be in nature sometimes, that kind of thing. It's definitely not the same. The virtual performance will never be the same as the real life thing.
So you would definitely say that your way of how you work on your music has changed during the pandemic?
Yeah, and even shooting music videos, we've had to kind of work around if there's a curfew in the country or if there is a restrictions in the country. You know, we still want to put out music, but we have to find ways to do it, and everything is virtual. It is just not as fun, but it has to be done. And in these times, you can't give up and say, oh, I'm not going to make any more music until we're able to tour, because these are the days that people need. They need the positivity. They need that in their life, because I'm not the only one who's going through this, and I'm not the only one who's upset and at home. There's people there that's probably going through worse, and music is healing. So this is actually the time to put out music, because people need it the most right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but you released new music, I think yesterday, your new song, Wildfire with Dre Island, came out. Maybe we will listen to it a little bit. Spreading round like wildfire. Does it take me to when I
Yeah, Wildfire. We thought about something. We were discussing the vibe of the song. I mean, maybe we are wrong, but we had the feeling of the roots vibes of reggae, like Bob Marley style in it. Is that
yeah.
true?
Yeah, I think that's probably Dre's voice why you feel that way. Yeah, and yeah, that sample is from Lloyd Parks officially. Maybe that's why you're feeling that vibe, that old school vibe. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a really great song. Was there a difference between working on this song right now during the pandemic and the other songs?
There was a difference, but it wasn't actually because of the pandemic. So this song, I wrote this song and recorded it, I would say like maybe 6 months ago now. And we had it, but the chorus that I wrote for it, we just weren't really, it just wasn't, you know, given something. So we kind of let it go. And I was in London a few weeks ago for a while. And Tony was like, you know, he thinks that a good feature for it would be Dre Island. And I was like, okay, that sounds very interesting. And then I just got, like the next day, I just got the track back with Dre's hook and his verse. And I was like, okay, now this is a song. Now the chorus is. So the parts that you hear in the chorus of me singing is actually from the original chorus, like little bits of it. And then my verses stayed the same. So I hadn't met Dre Island in real life until the day of the video shoot, which was last week. So usually, you know, we're either in the studio together with the artist, or in their studio or something. So this creation process was very, very different than any other song I've put out, but it works, and it's just energy. It just shows that music is energy.
It's pure energy. We really had to say that your voice and his voice were fusing, you know? It was really had power, energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was real nice, really.
For sure. I was blown away when I first heard it, and I still blown away every time I listen to it. It's just it's amazing. His voice is epic.
So what are your plans for the future? Are you working on some new music?
Yeah, we're working on new music all the time, like all the time. But we're working on an EP for 2022. That's the next year. Yeah. I get lost in the years now. Is it 2020? Is it 2021? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that's everyone's problem.
Yeah. So 2022. And yeah, just look out for new music, more videos, more collaborations as well. I think we'll do this year. And yeah, just more vibes. Hopefully we can be on the road very soon. Fingers crossed.
As a young artist in Jamaica, was there somebody that inspired you in 2017? You know, like when you came to Jamaica, some artists were, let's not call them your idol, but like, you know, like people that you saw while you were working, you said, man, their style is cool. I would like to follow in that route.
You mean when I came back in 2017, you're saying, yeah?
Exactly.
I would say, I wouldn't say I wanted to follow in anybody's like route, but definitely the artists that I did collaborations with early on, like Busy Signal, Stone Boy, they worked with me before I had put out music. Mm-hmm. It was just vibes, and it was just, we were in the studio and the love of the music. And sometimes, you know, artists won't want to work with a new artist who either doesn't have, you know, a certain amount of following or a certain amount of, you know, but to know that they did that out of pure love for the music and just, you know, hearing my voice and believing in the songs at the time, definitely was, it was an honor and inspiration. So I would say those artists I knew before. And so to be able to work with them in such a capacity at a very early stage in my career was, it was great.
In the one interview, you said something like, I think you said something like female artists like like Coffee, you really liked, and Lila Ike, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lila, and Jazz Elise as well. And he's not a female, obviously, but Mortimer, I think, is exquisite. And I think this era of reggae and what's coming out of Jamaica right now is a special time. I don't think we've had a surge of so many amazing reggae acts at one time for a long time. So yeah, it's a great time.
Mm. Is there someone you would really love to work together on a song?
Yeah, all the names I just mentioned, definitely. And it's hard to say because it's all of the collaborations were just like, is when the song comes or when the vibe comes, and you're like, you know what, this person, or yeah, that's how it usually works out. But yeah, the new pioneers of reggae right now that I would say I'd want to collaborate with, because it's a special time. It's time to make special music.
Yeah, that's true.
You seem to be very curious, like what's coming next, right? I have the feeling like there's like some energy into it, like as being a young artist, and so many young artists at the moment in Jamaica having their breakthrough, right? How do you feel about the future right now?
Obviously unsure due to the pandemic, but at the same time hopeful and excited, because everybody's yearning for live music. So when it happens again, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I try to not become anxious, and so I just live, and whatever happens. And track record has shown that life just happens to happen at the right time every time. So we're just going to relax, we'll get through this patch in the universe, and yeah, it's going to be fun at the other end. I mean, when World War II ended, everybody had the best time. So when this pandemic ends, I'm hoping we're going to have the best time as well.
Explosive, it will be.
For yeah. Sure. So maybe for the end of our interview, we have a little tradition for our end of the interviews that the artist can recommend us a song that we should listen to. So is there any song? It can be any genre.
I have been listening to Better Than Gold by Barrington Levy on repeat for the past 2 days.
Okay.
It's on the soundtrack of The Harder They Fall, The Harder They Come, or the new Western movie.
I think Coffee has a song on it.
Coffee has a song on there as well, which is also amazing. But yeah, this one, Better Than Gold, it's been on repeat for me. So definitely highly recommend.
Okay,
so let's hit the song now. When will we see them again? Question
that we did not know. It's a great song. Have you seen the movie yet?
Yes, I have seen it, and I've never watched any other Western movie. But it was a good movie. The soundtrack was awesome. There's a lot of reggae in there. So I enjoyed the music, and the story was good as well.
Okay, so that's a recommendation by Colleen.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. So thank you very much
for being here.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun talking to you guys. So thank you for having me.